Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. The Bills over the Ravens yesterday in the rain. 3-1 Pittsburgh. And I think probably Kenny Pickett to make his first NFL start this Sunday. Pickett in for Mitchell Trubisky, I think, halftime yesterday. And it was funny. Eric Wood is with us. Eric, I know, has had his moments with the PFF grades over the years. So at least I think that's how he feels. But it's been a while since we've talked about it. Eric Pickett threw 3 interceptions and had no turnover-worthy plays.
That's interesting. my biggest gripe with Pro Football Focus comes with their grades on offensive linemen. And that's no discredit to them. I think it's tough to grade offensive linemen if you're not a coach, if you're not in the meetings knowing everyone's responsibility. So that's my big gripe with them. But I understand that it's very tough to grade them on each play and know who exactly was responsible for what. But you got to put content out there. You got to grade the offensive linemen. So I get all that. 3 turnover-worthy plays. I believe it was a Hail Mary at the end and then 2 tipped balls.
Right.
And so, I kind of appreciate them not counting the Hail Mary. The 2 tip balls, I'd have to go back and watch those closely to see if they were turnover-worthy plays. He also made a comment after the game, or he didn't make a comment. Somebody said made a comment that he's perfect at the ball not hitting the ground during his career. I remember in college, our quarterback was 2-for-4 at one point with 2 pick sixes. And he made a joke on the sideline as we're losing 14-0 to Middle Tennessee State at home that he was 4-for-4 and I wanted to murder him.
This wasn't Brian Brom, was it?
No, this was Hunter Cantwell my senior year.
Okay. Wow.
I'd have to go back and look. I saw a highlight of the one pick. Bill Barnwell, I saw, wrote about this and analyzed it and said both throws, not the Hail Mary, the other 2 were bad throws. They were late and allowed coverage to get there. So, I don't know who you want to trust, turnover worthy or not, but whatever. The Bills are probably playing a rookie next week, and, I don't know, we can get to that or we can lead with that because we're here. How big a deal is that? I mean, this defense, they've given up 7 points in the second half through 4 games all year. So the defense has been a story here, Eric, and now they get a rookie quarterback probably.
Yeah, this defense is playing great football, and you're down 4 defensive backs, including Trey White, in that game against the Dolphins, and Christian Benford leaves the game, and you still hold Tua to under 200 yards passing. Now the offense had the ball for the Bills for a majority of that game. Regardless, you hold them to under 200 yards passing. You hold Lamar Jackson yesterday to under 150 yards passing. Yes, the conditions in Baltimore with the rain affect that. I get that. But this defense is playing incredible football right now. When you talk about a rookie quarterback going into an extremely loud environment next week in Buffalo, that's going to be a really tough test against Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, who have had a lot of success against rookie quarterbacks. And this Bills defense is getting harder and harder to prepare for. You know, that I believe they only had charted 1 blitz through 2 games this year with the Rams and the Titans. And if it's the blitz I'm thinking of, it was a sack. But Tremaine Edmonds simply, he was a man defense against the running back and just added himself. Well, the last 2 weeks with a younger secondary, so you're trying to bring those guys maybe off the edges more, let them be a little bit more aggressive. They blitzed a lot more. They blitzed a ton in the second half yesterday. And so it becomes really difficult to know what defense you're even going to be going against, much less the talent that you have on this Bills defense.
Eric, what a game. I mean, these two games here on the road both have been grueling. I don't know. How did you feel during the game? I was not too worried for them, even at 20-3. But, you know, it was at the point where one more score there would have been pretty big trouble. They had just enough time to pull it off.
Yeah, I just, for full disclosure, was ready to start recording angry post-game segments at about 2:30.
Yeah, Bulldog was done.
It definitely had a bad feel to it. It kind of had that 2018 at Baltimore feel to it in the rain. Nothing going the Bills' way. Now, this Bills team is a lot more talented than that 2018 Bills team. But it just seemed that nothing could go their way. And when they got down 20-3, I wasn't sitting there in a panic in the booth thinking the Bills have no shot of winning this. It was just going to be a lot tougher. You know, Gabe Davis doesn't seem like himself out there right now with playing with that hobbled with the ankle injury. It was tough to get the ball to Diggs, whether that's coverage or scheme. However they were doing it, it was tough to get Stephon Diggs the ball, and it was just tough to catch the ball yesterday. You have two good defenses, and you could say what you want about the Ravens giving up all those points. They do have a good amount of talent on that defense. So all that being said, you're down 20-3, but it's pretty hard to throw the football. Our longest play for the Bills yesterday was a 23-yard pass to Stephon Diggs with really no run after the catch. He caught along the sideline in the second half. And so that being said, it was a gritty comeback, excellent defense in the second half. The Ravens scored on their first four possessions. Now the Bills gave them the ball at their own 3-yard line on the first possession with the tipped interception. But they scored their first four possessions and then didn't score the rest of the game. Their best opportunity from there was that drive at the end of the game that Harbaugh elected to go for it on 4th-and-1.5, 2 going in. And, you know, Lamar throws an interception there, which becomes really pivotal because if you're John Harbaugh, you're not that worried about the Bills taking over from the 2. The 20 makes a big difference. I believe we've talked about this on the show before. But if you turn the ball, or let's say the other team takes over at their own 2-yard line, statistically, you have a 90% chance to be the next team to score. The Ravens would be if the Bills take over at the 20-yard or at the 2-yard line. When you bring it out to the 20, it brings it almost to a 50-50 split.
Interesting to think how that could have affected the play call. I give Baltimore credit. They're usually sharp in this area. And one point John Harbaugh made after the game, Eric, was think about how like the Bills have all four downs if they're losing. You know, if it's a field goal, like they have all four downs, they're never going to punt. But if I think at 2:58, if Allen misses the throw to Knox on 3rd-and-2 and it's 4th-and-2, they probably punt there because the game is tied and they're deep in their own or fairly deep in their own territory. So I don't know. It's pretty deep in. We're pretty far in if we're going, let's run Jackson on 4th-and-2, because, you know, we have a better chance to win if he's stopped than the possibility of an interception. But it's also Lamar Jackson. He'd probably like your chances anyway.
Yeah, you're right. And I saw the ESPN probability. It was 73-point-something% chance of winning for the Ravens if they went for it, 69% chance of winning if they kicked the field goal. If you're going strictly by analytics and you want to take some of the decision-making out of your hands and abide by the analytics, then you say go for it in that situation. And, you know, I believe John Harbaugh makes that decision to go for it. Well, he's probably not telling Greg Roman, I'm going for it. Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, I'm going for it only if you run the ball with Lamar or somebody in the backfield. And so, but it was interesting because I made note of it on the broadcast. Even prior to them going for it, even prior to the play being ran, Marcus Peters was in John Harbaugh's ear. And the reason I was able to see it was, one, we have a great view in Baltimore, you know, about midway up from the stadium. And then we're right behind the Ravens bench. And John Harbaugh was kind of separate from all the other coaches. He was maybe at the 20-yard line, a little outside the coaches and players box. And Marcus Peters was in his ear right down there. Marcus Peters ends up going back. And then after the game, they had that big exchange of words.
Right. Well, and then the Bills, Eric, for their part on the final drive, I mean, it's just perfection.
Masterclass.
They convert where they need to get out toward midfield, the Knox play, and then choosing not to take the touchdown, you know? I mean, Sean McDermott was especially candid after the game. I think he was just very proud of that. And he had, maybe, I want to say, had his guard down a little bit, where many times he would just be like, yeah, I'm not talking strategy with you. I just won't. But here he was in detail after the game about what played out there, and he was also really impressed. So, I mean, for the Bills to win the game that way, right down to the last play, just exceptional.
It was, and, you know, the narrative on the Bills recently has been that they can't win one-score games. And I talked on One Bills Live earlier. Yes, they've won 20 straight games. Now, you know, now the streak is over. But 20 straight wins of theirs, which is an NFL record, was by 10 or more points. Well, some of those were one-score games that they score late or the other team turns the ball over. You know what I mean? It wasn't always a blowout heading into the fourth quarter. You know, these all weren't just complete blowouts in those 20 games. Some of those were fairly close. And then you go back to 2020, and the Bills were 5-1 in one-score games. But when something becomes a narrative, it becomes a narrative for a reason, because they've struggled in one-score games lately, whether it was the 13 seconds at Kansas City or the Hail Mary or that game in Miami last week when you have 2nd-and-1 from the 1 yard line. You know, you found ways to lose those games. And so to get that kind of monkey off your back is probably why Sean McDermott felt a little better about himself after the game yesterday.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, Bulldog, I mean, it reflects on coaching, that kind of a stat.
Yep.
You know, coaching is the topic when you're discussing that usually.
And I think that that is probably some part of why McDermott was as forthcoming as he was, because I think he would know that this has been out there, that they can't, you know, close these games out or win the tight game. And they not only did, I mean, they just, it was perfect, you know, from Singletary knowing what he needed to do there. And even Eric, the little run by Allen, I'd love to know from your perspective, like, as that play starts, are you worried about Baltimore pulling him into the end zone and our linemen trying to guard against that? Like, you want a yard, but you don't want two, right? I mean, it's very, very right. Close.
Yeah, heads-up play. That's when you're glad he weighs about 245 pounds and he's a little heavier than maybe some to pull him into the end zone. But, yeah, you have to be precise in that moment. But by getting that 1 yard and getting the first down, you do not give Baltimore a chance to get the ball back at all, and they have to waste all their timeouts. So, yes, it was great clock management. I also liked the play call when they lined up in an empty set and ran the screen out to Singletary, because they're trying to run the clock out. At that point, they have a tie ball game, and they're already in field goal range. So they're essentially trying to run the clock out, but they realize, you know, our strength right now is not getting into a big heavy set and running the football. It's to continue to get the ball to the perimeter, you know, throw the ball essentially. And so they run a well executed screen to Singletary to get the ball down to the 10-yard line. I just thought that was a great creative way for a low risk play that's going to keep the clock moving even if they blow it up at the line of scrimmage, but a way to kind of play to your strengths.
Yep.
Yeah, good point. Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Let's talk about Singletary for another minute. One interesting development, I would say, through the first four games here is that Singletary is being thrown to a lot. He was high again PFF. By the way, I didn't mean any of that before disparagingly toward them. I love those guys. He was the least worst graded receiver among running backs in the NFL last year. Here, I mean, it doesn't look too bad. And he's second on the team in catches at this point, Eric. Injuries to other players are some part of that. I mean, I guess James Cook can't hold on to the ball yet. But it looks like a concerted, like a meant-to-be kind of an effort by the Bills to get the ball out faster, and that has meant more passes to running backs. I think 20 last week passes to running backs. Average depth of chart of target. Allen, year after year, is in the nines or even once 11.5. This year, 7.1 so far. What do you think that all adds up to? It's got to be at least somewhat intentional here, not just necessity game to game, that they want to have a little bit of a different offense in this way.
Yeah, and Josh said it after the game that, you know, the throws to the running backs and those short screens, Khalil Shakir's screen pass that he took in, even Isaiah McKenzie's touchdown earlier in the game, which looked a lot like the play last week where Josh underthrew McKenzie for the win at Miami. But when you look at what they're doing in the pass game, you know, that replaces some of the run game. And, you know, another reason why those yards per catch are down. I mean, against Tennessee, anytime they pressured, Josh just flung the ball out to Diggs at or around the line of scrimmage and let him get up the field. So as his career has gone on, he's done such a great job of taking the easy throws to the outside and letting guys try and make plays with their legs. And then, yes, I think the Bills, you know, that's part of the reason they went after who was it? McKissick in free agency. You bring in a Duke Johnson. You drafted James Cook, who was a great receiver at Georgia. You want production receiving from the running backs. And at this point, Devin Singletary is your best option. Yes, he's second on the team in catches. He's third in receiving yards. You know, and he's producing through the air. Yes, we can sit here and say that the Bills need a better ground game, but they're one of the best throwing teams in the NFL. And when you dedicate yourself, a lot of your practice time is going to be pass blocking when you throw the ball so much. And they're not getting in a rhythm in the run game. Yes, you want that to get better as the year goes on. And I think one answer with the run game, or one kind of thing with the run game moving forward, is similar to last year where they kind of found their footing later in the year. Hopefully it doesn't take until week 12-ish like it did last year to find some effective run game. But each O-line's different. Each team is different year over year. And last year they found some great success running kind of spread read option with Singletary mainly and some of the pin-pull schemes that they're running towards the end of the year last year. I think they'll find out as the year goes on more of their identity, what exactly is going to be the strength of this group up front and the running backs.
How about Gabriel Davis, Eric? Does he look right to you?
No, he doesn't. And from the highlights I get to see from practice, he doesn't. Pre-game warm-ups, when they're kind of casually out there in shorts and T-shirts and warming up with Josh, he doesn't look quite like himself. And credit to him, you know, they got so many injuries right now, and he's out there gutting through it. But, no, he doesn't seem like himself. And, you know, now they're at a point where you lose Crowder. Isaiah McKenzie's in the concussion protocol. I don't know if this is a great week to say, hey, we're going to give him an off week and see if he can be really healthy in 2 weeks.
You know, not to be too greedy, Eric, but it'd be nice for the Bills if the Steelers could just relax here. I mean, these last two games have been grueling. You have a 3-point game yesterday in the rain, the heat in Miami. I heard on TV Josh Allen said it took him until Friday to feel right physically last week. You know, Pittsburgh is kind of known for being tough to, well, I don't think that's like known for this, tough to blow out, but they've just always had a pretty competitive team or better. And maybe this year they don't. I don't like the way the Steelers sound. They're sort of chirping at each other, and there seems to be a lot of drama there already. We might get Pickett, as we've talked about already. Maybe the Bills can have a game here where, well, I guess Tennessee was this, as it turned out, but, you know, not down to the wire.
Yeah, but they got so dinged up against Tennessee, it was hard to appreciate the blowout there. It didn't feel like kind of a, you know, they rested their starters for almost a quarter and a half, but they were so dinged up at that point. And then on the late pick six, Jordan Phillips pulls his hamstring, and he still hasn't been back since. But yeah, this Pittsburgh team's interesting because you're without TJ Watts, who's a total game changer. You know, him and Aaron Donald, probably two best defensive players in all of football. And so he's not out there, which makes a big difference. You know, their offense, they don't quite have the playmakers. You know, this isn't your old Pittsburgh Steelers with a just debilitating defense, a good run game. It just doesn't seem like a tough matchup for the Bills. And when you look at it, Vegas says the same with a 14 or 14.5 point spread, which is a monster spread in this league. I heard that was maybe the largest, I don't know, in 30 years or something.
Against Pittsburgh?
Against the Steelers, yeah.
Yeah.
The Steelers have ever had, you know.
That's right.
And so Vegas seems to think the same. You still have some playmakers on the defense side of the ball, especially Minka Fitzpatrick. But, you know, the Bills came into the game against the Steelers last year in the opener. They were a 7-point favorite and made just enough mistakes in a very windy game when it was tough to throw the ball to lose that one.
You know, before we wrap up here, the linebackers, Milano and Edmonds, you know, the secondary gets rightly so a lot of credit being the strength of the defense. We focused a lot of attention, and the Bills have spent a lot of assets up front, draft picks, Von Miller, et cetera, the reshaped defensive interior, you know, with Settle and Daquan Jones coming in, Jordan Phillips coming back. Man, Milano and Edmonds, Eric, they were just studs yesterday.
Yeah, and I think they played great all year. So from the football I've watched, Matt Milano might be playing as good as anybody at the linebacker position in all of football. And it's his athleticism, it's his toughness. He's making plays around the line of scrimmage, which good linebackers do. Great linebackers make plays at the line of scrimmage. They play downhill. That usually requires good defensive line play as well, which the Bills are getting this year. I think Tremaine Edmonds is having a great year as well. The fact that they can sit in nickel defense against teams like the Ravens and the Titans and stop the run consistently is impressive. That's got to tick offensive coordinators off so bad, because they want to dictate personnel that the defense runs on the field every single week. They want to say, hey, we're going to get 21 personnel, and then we're going to throw it because you're going to put more big bodies on the field. And they still leave Taron Johnson on the field, and those linebackers in that defensive line combined with the secondary players can stop the run consistently. And what Milano does as far as just, here you go, Shope, momentum building hits where the team gets all fired up and it gives them some momentum. The crowd gets back into it. Man, those two guys are playing excellent football.
Show me a chart. What happens on the next plays? I'll be right with you on that, Eric. I'm ready. I'm ready to come over. I like you.
I got a super, super non-busy week with the book coming out next week. I'll go back and chart all of those for you.
Looks like you're having a nice day. I've got, what is it, your son hitting golf balls over your pool?
Yeah, that was fun. I made sure to take about an hour off today. This week's kind of crazy with book promotions and all of that, but I get a bunch of media stuff on Monday, including this, which this kind of caps off my day each week, which I always look forward to this one. We have a little bit more fun than I do on the rest of them. Part of that's us doing the show for what feels like maybe 10 years.
Maybe,
now,
yeah.
We need like a 10-year anniversary episode at some point too, where we just sit around and drink beers and really have
Epcot.
Fun. But
Epcot,
at Epcot maybe. But that being said, yeah, took my son outside today. He's off school on Mondays, and I'm traveling on Saturdays and Sundays, so it's always fun to take him out and hang with him a little bit.
Have you measured that distance to the miniature green?
No, I would say it was probably about a 40-yard shot that he ripped. And those are people were really concerned about the windows. Those are like foam golf balls, so they're not going to go through a window. But big news in the Wood household, Garrett started playing flag football this year. He's 4 and a half. He'll be 5 in January. But he started playing football, and he scored his first touchdown on Sunday, and the video was just classic. I'll end up posting it or send it over to you guys. But
tremendous.
I got that during the game, which was like about put me in tears watching how excited he was over that.
Love it.
Hey, real quick, is there anything we can do to help you with the book? Like, I feel like I
buy
I,
it.
I feel negligent here. Like, what's going on with the book?
Yeah, so the book officially releases next Tuesday, October 11th. It's called Tackle What's Next. It the foreword's by Sean McDermott. So for those Bills fans that want to hear or want to read Sean McDermott, I don't know that he's ever written anything formally in print in a book before. So Sean McDermott did the foreword. There's an endorsement in there by Brandon Bean and a number of others. But it's kind of it tells my story of transitioning out of football, and I felt like I was so blessed to get so many lessons and have so many mentors in life that gave me all these great lessons that don't just apply to professional athletes, that I wanted to put them on paper, whether that was through my podcast or just my experience in life. There's some Bills stories in there, but it's not geared just towards Bills fans, but it's for sale anywhere you can buy books. The easiest way is probably just get on Amazon and search Tackle What's Next. It'll pop up. And if you pre-order, that helps me a ton. If you leave a review, that really helps me as well.
Very good. Love this conversation. My son played lacrosse in the stadium yesterday, by the way.
Nice.
Talking about flag football, sort of ironic. And he got hurt, but they had a tournament on the field and then also on the youth field in the back at the stadium.
Yeah.
And lots of people, out-of-town teams. Really great day. So it was cool to be a part of that in the morning before coming in here.
Nice. Is he doing all right from the injury?
You know, he's out of school today. We think a bruised knee. We're going in the morning to get him looked at.
All right. Well, I hope and pray that that's all it is. And it's just an injury plague season all around.
That's right. Well done. Okay. Have a good rest of your day, Eric. We'll talk next Monday.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
That's our man Eric Wood and his appearance here on WGR, always brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Arthur Pressman, your DWI attorney. Arthur Pressman, your ticket to justice.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. We'll look again for your calls going towards 7. Tonight, the game is Rams 49ers. That's interesting. 803-0550, the number. The pluses and the minuses. The pluses, of course, a comeback win like that. There are other areas, though, being scrutinized a little bit. Pass receivers, what the deal is with Davis. Maybe that's number one. Are they fine going into Week 5 and the Steelers? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.